You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in, super fans. We have an episode of Rivalry Moments. It's rivalry week here in MLS, and we are kicking it off with an extra spicy serving of our own, I guess you could say, what you think, Mike? A little chef moment here. What you think?
Oh, we're going to hit him with the chef's kiss, definitely. What's going on, my dude? Big salute, super fans. Yeah, like Maddie said, I hope you guys are ready to eat tonight because we're going to be cooking up that good stuff. The pot is going to be hot tonight, and like Maddie said, it's going to be spicy. It's a lot going on in MLS, rivalry week, and some of these owners, they out here twerking and jerking. I don't know what's going on with these dudes, man. Got some situations to talk
about. It seems like they can't take a joke, some of them, or they're taking things way too serious.
And they're not even on the field, right? You know, Well, they're getting on the – excuse me. They are coming on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, they're getting on the field. Don't make no sense.
Yes.
But let's move on. Let's get into it, right? Okay. So I give a little taste, little tidbit of our what we're talking about today. And we have, a listener sent in an idea, and it struck me, it struck Mike, just, it was like, this is perfect. This is great. So we, in MLS, in America, we have our own kind of slant on soccer over here. And we started off, when I say we, the MLS, we started off in inception where we did things way totally different, and then we kind of come back to terms with more on the way European and world soccer plays, right? We have a setup of a point system, and playoffs is kind of new over here, and that's the way we do things. But as a whole, Mike, when we talk about the NBA, when we talk about MLB, when we talk about NFL, we have divisions. And a listener suggested, why doesn't the MLS adopt divisions to kind of stir rivalry? And we both were mentioning it, and it's a great idea.
Yes, excellent idea. And shout out to our international super fans, too, because we don't want to be, biased because we're heavy MLS guys. But, we love soccer all around the world. Men's, women's, all the international teams showing you love. But, over here, as you guys know, we have football, NFL football with the helmets and the pads. And that's great. Right. So just kind of playing off of that, we thought about, as the listener was saying, and he made a great point, excellent point. We want to boost rivalries because it's all about the fans, right? Super fans. Then let's talk about getting some, divisions. Just kind of not just mostly geographical, right, Maddie? What we want more geographical, where they're close proximity to have rivalries. And I'm gonna go back to Charlotte's head coach when he mentioned. That kind of was also part of this, right? Remember he mentioned that, Nashville's not a, I don't consider him a rival. Remember that? He kind of tried to throw a little salt. And, I think this is the perfect time for us. We kind of sat back and thought of some ideas and hope you guys, tell us what you think,
And on that note, we have two divisions, right? We have not two divisions. We have two conferences, and Mike is the mastermind behind this because, yeah, the listener may have kind of given us the idea, like maybe said, hey, what do you think about this? But I got to give Mike the credit for coming and writing these out and dividing it up equally. So we have 30 teams, right? And that's 15 for each conference. And if you divide 15 equally, that's five teams in a division for three divisions, 15 teams. Makes sense. Yes. I'm gonna start off with Mike wrote down. You got the Northern Division would be Toronto FC, Chicago, Montreal, Cincinnati, and Columbus. And I think that one would be a very good division. The teams are somewhat fairly close to each other and not, you know, not too far on the travel and everything else. That would be geographically. And you keep some of the rivalries. You got the you got Hell is Real rivalry between Cincinnati and Columbus. You got Toronto and Montreal's rivalry. I'm pretty sure that Chicago and Columbus, Cincinnati, they probably have their own rivalry in there as well. So that's a good one. That's, I gotta say, Mike, you did good on that one.
Hey, thanks, bro. Yeah, that I think all those matchups are great, man. And next, I guess I'm going to go down to the what is the Atlantic Division, right? Mm-hmm. These are just some ideas that came up. Atlantic Division, and that's going to be Philadelphia, NYCFC, DC United, my New York Red Bulls, and of course New England guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're all right there in the Northeast. All those guys are like Maddie was saying, close proximity. I just think this is like the perfect storm for the fans. I mean, this is what they're lacking. I'm just getting inspired by American football, guys. That's all, you know. It's not rocket science, but I just think this is MLS, if you're listening, listen to Maddie and I. This is take this into consideration because, that would be crazy right there.
Yeah, and there's the second division of our three, and last one is going to be the South Division, which is all these teams. All these teams are fairly new, so this could really, you know, I know we talked about previous episodes. I'm a Nashville supporter, and. seems that we have a rivalry with Orlando because we faced them in the playoffs and other instances. So I would say that they're a rival, but some of these other teams, thinking like Atlanta, Charlotte, we haven't been around them enough, and the league and other places seem to be pushing that they're a rivalry, but, it hasn't quite happened. But if you have it to where we're in a division, and we'll get to that later on for the purpose for these divisions, but needless to say, let me get straight to the chase. The South Division will be Nashville, Orlando City, Miami, Charlotte, and Atlanta. That would round up your South Division.
Love it. I mean, dude. We've been several times to – we've been to Orlando. Of course, we've been to Nashville. How do you say it? Geodis. I love that arena. And, of course, Atlanta. I mean, come on, guys. It's the Mercedes-Benz, baby. I mean, it's – it can hold – it's the largest – they have the largest attendance in the MLS, right? They're getting – what are they getting, Maddie? Like 50 a week.
Yeah.
In Miami, I would say that, to be honest, in Charlotte. Charlotte is, like, in the top 2-3 as far as attendance, right?
They're up there. I'm not too sure if they're, you know, so high as 2 or 3, but they're up there. They're top 5, I know. Are they the second? Really?
They might be, yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, they're high. We've been there.
Yeah.
That place is huge. And they're playing, you know, they're playing in, what is that, Bank of America, which is the... Panthers Stadium, but man, those fans, I love those fans there. They're rowdy. They really come out. And that South Division, to be honest, I think that would be dope. That would be really maybe the best and most fierce rivalry in the MLS, to be honest.
Maybe so. remains to be seen. Okay, well, let's I kind of teased it a little bit. Before we go and talk about the Western Conference, what would be some pros and cons of even doing this? So, yeah, we talked about the rivalries and this and that, right? It would help, but how would something like this work, Mike? I mean, you got the playoffs, the way we do things. Like, how would this play out? I mean, you got these conferences, you got these divisions, so you must have thought it out a little bit more. Come on, give us a little bit more, Mike.
Well, I thought about it somewhat. And that's where we were kind of trying to put our heads together on this, guys.
Right.
Because we know, okay, in the playoffs, right, it's nine teams in, right? This is the format. It's nine teams in, of course. So the eight and the nine seed play each other, right? And sort of like a play-in and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was saying is that the top seed, right, who has the number one overall seed, they should get a bye. In my opinion, they should get a bye, right? I think we talked about that. Because they earned that right or whatever, right? And then as far as the whichever team is the top seed in each division, of course they automatically they're in or whatever. But let me see. How do we say it, Maddie? You were saying I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I was saying that other than just ginning up rivalries, there should be some sort of like incentive to winning the division other than simply just pride. And I think that since the MLS is a salary cap league and we've seen, we just had the NBA draft lottery, and then where in other leagues it seems that they want to reward mediocrity, I think that a good kind of sign or show of support would be to if you're successful, you should get rewarded. It should be rewards based versus rewarding mediocrity. And so I suggested that if you win the division, then you should get extra game. You should get like 500,000 or 250, you know, it should, a set number to improve the roster so that you can keep the roster together or use that money to improve the roster, whether it be with other signings or whatever the case may be. Because we mentioned the Galaxy, right? They're a perfect example of a team that goes out, wins, does wins the whole thing, right? And because they spent money, now they're penalized for being good. They're penalized for winning. That's not a good precedent to set.
Yeah, I agree. And there, shout out to the Galaxy super fans out there. I feel your pain, guys. Keep your head up, and you know, can't get any worse. They got to get better. All right. But yeah, Maddie, definitely. It, you see something like that, and it's, you know, that's bad. That's very. I don't think it's fair either. But it's funny because guys play on championship teams. Now they've won the championship. They want to get paid. They want to get more opportunity to, you know, he may have been a role player. He may have been, you know, maybe not a starter, but he's very talented. He contributed in winning the MLS Cup. And he's like, yo, let me go over and get paid. I might want to go overseas. I have no problem with that. But I 100% agree with you, Maddie. Extra game would be fine. Now, do you think, can they use that to bring on players right before the playoffs? Would you allow that? Or, I mean, what's the scoop on that?
No. I think that winning the division shouldn't affect the playoffs in that way. I think that it should affect your team going forward. Similar way where we're talking about the draft lottery and things like that. So instead of, again, I'm gonna hammer that point home this episode because it just makes me mad. Instead of rewarding mediocrity, you're rewarding success. And if you do well, you win your division, you have that pride of winning the division, have your banner up on your stadium, right? But you also get more money to keep the band together. And also maybe to improve the band, right? And having that extra money. So you're incentivized to go out and do that, to go out and win your division, to play and do these things, but because it's going to give you that extra, especially in a salary cap league, where that extra little bit might be what puts you over the edge.
Yeah, I get it. I agree with you there. Good point. They need to reward the teams that play well, and you know, that's what it should be, right? I mean, not just the bad teams are able you know, to keep getting, you know, all of these, you know, top draft picks and all. I get that part. But, yeah, they should be given extra game and be able to keep some of these core guys there. And, you know, that's what it's about, right? We grew up with a lot of these teams staying together. Now, you know, I don't know, a lot of pro sports guys are team hopping and, you know, always shopping around and don't want to stay and represent their city and their, you know, their fans. So I agree. I like that. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and go over the Western Conference divisions you got. I'll start it off. We got the Northwest division would be Seattle, Portland, Vancouver, Real Salt Lake, and Colorado.
Yes,
so there's
yes.
a bunch of rivalries kind of packed into that one. You got the Seattle and Portland rivalry. You got the Vancouver and Seattle rivalry. You got Real mm-hmm. Salt Lake and Colorado all cooked in there. So, you know, that one would be pretty jam-packed.
Yeah, I think that would be very exciting also. I mean, and I was just thinking, think about this with the rivalries. This opens up linear, right? We talked about this before, linear TV. Now when it's rivalry weeks, when these teams are playing each other, MLS, now you can have these games free, right? When they're playing their rivals, these games can be free to the people, right? And afford mm-hmm. them the ability to see some of these. You know, I'm just saying, you know? And then that would maybe want to make them get the, you know, package or whatever, you know, on Apple and whatnot. But, yeah, I think that would also – I was just thinking of that, you know? But, no, that's – I think that would be an excellent division right there. And those fans are crazy. We already know those fans are crazy. Seattle, Portland. Vancouver's killing it. I mean – Yeah, yeah. Colorado, too? Wow. All those teams are great. Man.
Yep. That would be a pretty tough division to go out and get a win.
Yes. Definitely.
So let's go to the Pacific Division.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Pacific Division, you wrote down LAFC, LA Galaxy, Houston Dynamo, San Diego, and San Jose.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Those Cali teams right there is just crazy, right? I don't even have to really tell you guys how much. And shout out again, superfans in San Diego. And we spoke about it. I'm not tooting my horn, but we both said they were going to be pretty good. But I don't think either of us thought they were going to be this good this soon. I knew they were going to be pretty good because they had a lot of talent going over there. But you think about these rivalries. These are instant rivalries now because San Diego's coming in beating LAFC or beating, you know, first year. And, you know, fans ain't feeling that, right? They're not. They're, like, pissed, like, whoa, you know. So having that rivalry there for that division, they're going to fight and claw to get numero uno, get that top spot. And now I know Maddie kind of, you had a point, and I'll let you, well, okay.
All right. So he sent me this list, guys, and I'm looking at this, and if you're listening, you're probably looking or thinking to yourself, okay, you got an LA team, San Diego, San Jose, and then Houston. Where's Houston coming from? I told you, I said it would be cool if it was an all Cali division, but they don't have five Cali right. teams. But yeah, Houston just seems kind of thrown in there. I suggested before we got to recording, I said maybe Austin. They're fairly new. They're newer compared to Houston and a little bit further west with Texas. And so if it was my division, I would trade off the Houston for Austin, and that would have our last division. There would be the Midwest division of Minnesota, SKC, St. Louis, Dallas, and you have Austin here. But I said I would swap the two, and I would have Houston instead of Austin. But yeah, other than that, I mean everything seems to work pretty well. Yeah. Just that Houston seems like the odd man out.
I know, right? Yeah, and I kind of mulled over that Because, like you say, geographically, I think you got a good point. Austin, since there, I can rock with that. I'll go with you on that. Put Austin over there in the Pacific, and I'll trade you and put, like you said, Houston in the Midwest. And that rivalry between, actually, you're right, Dallas and Houston rivalry, that would be crazy, right? We already know that, mm-hmm. right? Those guys, that as far as the Texas teams right there, right? Texas two-step, right? And, man, Minnesota, SKC, and St. Louis, they're right there. I mean, you know, yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
And it would give the league something to kind of, you know, we've mentioned it before on this show about trying to lure – lure is it seems like a negative connotative word.
I lure.
but lure in people from other entice. Sports. And like, so entice. Yeah. Entice, that's a good, that's right. Good. I like entice. That. To entice people right. who come from a different sports background, right? So if you come from a predominantly NBA or MLB or even, you know, American football background, you can have an idea of, hey, this is familiar to me. Instead of it being a total culture shock, and you're just like, oh, you got just the East and the West, and it's like the top of the top. It's like, what?
Right.
It's like, oh, but we have, if you show them, you got, okay, we got divisions, and you know, yes, a little bit more steps, but people can kind of understand it more, and that's all about branching out, and not only branching out, but also bringing forth these rivalries, and yes. adding on the extra little cherry on top, which I mentioned to you, and to everybody listening, is that at that GAM, if you win the division, that extra little bit of money to help out your roster, I think that could possibly be a winner, because the teams, they're incentivized to not only to win it for, hey, we won the division, it's some, you know, paper poster in the locker room. It's like, no, we won the division. We also got the extra money to help our roster out. And it's like, if you win the division a couple years in a row, yeah, you're going to be right up there, you know, leading the conference, much less winning, you know, your division. You're going to be the top of your conference.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. And we need to add, since we're cooking tonight, let's add our own, you know, American spice, right? We need to have our own twist on it, right? I know, you know, the game is universal, and we know it's the European, you know, they're the best in the world right now. We're trying to pretty much be like them, but we need to have our own twist on it. And for the American fans and for, you know, everyone that, you know, and I think that would be great with the rivalries and just having it. It's definitely going to bring more people out, because that's what we love, right? It's going to definitely bring more people out. And, you know, we talked the last episode about how many sponsors and all these people are getting involved now and getting on board with MLS. This rivalry thing right here with the divisions, guys, it would just explode. It would explode. I mean, definitely bring a lot of money to local businesses, get more kids involved, you know. It's just a lot, you know, and they're the future of soccer, whatever. But yeah, and I agree with you, Maddie. Yeah,
I also like it because you said you know, to make it our own, put our own American spice to it. And I remember, I'm not that old, but I can remember when MLS first formed, and that was kind of their calling card was it was our version of soccer, right? And so. And I showed you a couple of the games that are on YouTube. They got the yes. OG, like, very first games. I think it's the very first MLS Cup. And what they would do is, just like in football, American football, they would go and they start off with 90 minutes and they would clock it down. It's kind of how it is, with, you know, with the quarters and things like that. Basketball.
Yeah, they went reverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they would clock it down from 90. They would do 90 to 45, and then 45 down instead of going up. And then instead of there being
that's dope, because it adds more drama, right? Yo, that's dope.
And then the extra time is
overtime, right?
yeah. They had sudden death overtime. They had a bunch of like different things, and mm-hmm. I think that from the on the field. the game is the game, right? And that and that part is universal. So that part it did seem a little bit gimmicky. Let's not fool ourselves, right? And then the fact that they had there was only wins and losses. There was not draws and points and things like that. And by doing the divisions the way we were talking about, right? It's a way to add our American flavor to the game, but in a way that doesn't affect the game on the field. And I think that is important. That's one thing that one lesson that can be learned from, throughout the years. We're talking about this is MLS's 30th season. It's like, yep. we can look back at those times now and laugh at them and say, oh man, look how, from the fields that they played on to, looking back at the old, isn't like 96, I think is when they started, the big yes. baggy jerseys and things. And just like, you can kind of look back on it. But this way yes. here is you're still paying homage to that, different style of things. You're not just like the European leagues or these other places, right? This is different. Right. This is the MLS. And this is how we do things with our division set up and whatnot. And we incentivizing you to be competitive, because if you do, not only do you win the division, it's pride for your team, but it's a opportunity for you to improve your roster in the future going forward. It all sets up very well.
I just thought of something that popped in my head. So if you play a division rival, would you add, like, say you got a win, right? Mm-hmm. That's normally 3 points. Would you add another point if you beat a division rival, or you think that's too much?
Yeah, I think that might be a little too much.
That might be too much.
Yeah, because then if you did something like that, it would, you'd get into like, well, if they do this, they could get this many points, and it's like it could get very confusing. And I think that if we're looking out for the casual, bringing people into the fold, it's like it would all like. Learning the point system, it takes you, a little bit of time to kind of figure that out. And if you add that extra bit to it as well, it's like, oh, yeah, if you beat a division rival, you get this or that. It might get a little confusing.
So what about adding penalty kicks to the division games, right? Because you know what I'm saying? Instead of just, having it where it could end in a tie, you play a division rival, go down to the penalty kicks there. To add a twist to it. You know what I'm saying? To add a little.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That I'm kind of.
I'm shooting from the hip right now. Just ways to kind of spice it up, right?
Okay. Since all right. If we're talking about ways to spice it up, all right. I've seen a suggestion, and I kind of agree with this, right? Mm-hmm. I think that if you want to make it appealing. So you should get, if a team goes 0-0 and it's a draw, nobody should get any points. If they score multiple goals and it's a draw, then they get the points, right? Or at least score. Okay. I think that scoring, because yeah, you can have a defensive struggle, but if nobody scores, it's boring. It really is. Let's be honest. I mean,
you gotta respect the defense, though. You gotta respect the defense.
But even if it's a good defensive game, it should be 1-0, not 0-0.
It should be 1-0.
Yeah, and I think that's something that would be more universally accepted instead of because. That seems more fair. Like, okay, hey, it's a 3-3. Like, take the game last night with Miami and in San Jose. It was a 3-3 draw. It was a very entertaining game that went back and forth. And that one there, you could say, yeah, that was an entertaining match. They each deserve a point. But if it goes, and then there was a couple this weekend, or maybe not a couple, might have just been one, but it was like 0-0. And you're looking like, man, I bet that was a snore fest. Those ones are the ones that are like, why should we, we just got a point. It's like, but you just were just running around out there.
Well, how about go to the, if it's 0-0, you go to the penalty kicks on that. How about that?
That would be an idea that they could probably, look into. Yeah. I would be supportive of that.
Now you got to earn your point, right? See?
Right.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one would be one I could be for. If there's no score at all, that way you could kind of break it instead of just saying, oh, we just get a point. And it's like, okay, yeah, but, you know, if it's 1-1, if it's an even matchup in that way, I can understand you have 1 point. But if it's absolutely nothing, then yeah, there should be something to break it.
Make you go penalty kick. Boy, that's a good idea, huh? And the fans that's been there, they're like, yo, at least they got something to look forward to then. And it's like, look, we don't want to have a penalty kick battle. Let's try to win this thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's gonna force the players. See? Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that. But again, let's be real, that's gonna stay in this podcast because there's certain aspects of the game that they changed it whenever they first started, but I don't see it going in the future. Hey, one can hope, but I don't see that. I don't see it.
If you're listening.
Hey, Commish. Yeah. Let's send that his way. He might listen to this and laugh and say, no, but we're way far away from that.
Hey, who knows? That's only with the division rivals, right? You're saying, or you were saying the entire league? Were you?
I think that should be a league wide thing. Yeah, that should be a league wide thing. Yeah, if you're 0-0, I mean, come on, that's just
tough.
And I agree with you for the fans watching at home and also the ones that are there. That way, they do have something. You know, it's like, oh well, it's 0-0. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Yes. I agree with you. All right, let's. Sure. I think we beat that one. We're beating a dead horse now. We're talking about the divisions and the conferences. But let's move on. We have another instance of spice. speaking of Miami, there was a post made. This is of this weekend by Minnesota United on their social media. And it actually got me. It got me because I had to. I honestly thought it was just kind of funny, like, you know, cliches type. And it said, and I don't know if you know this, but I might be revealing this to you. The social media post said, because Minnesota United beat Miami, I think it was 4-1 or 3-1, Mike. Was it 4-1?
I think it was 4-1, bro.
Yeah, it was a decent scoreline. Anyways, normally after the game, there's banter, right? And so they made a post and it said "Pink Phony Club," and I'm like, "Ha ha, yeah, they're pink and they're sort of new. They got beat 4-1. This is a little jab." Little did I know, because I don't really follow music, not new music, like the pop stuff. Now I don't really follow it.
Right.
But I'm listening to the radio and a song comes on. It's kind of catchy. I Shazam it. And shout out to Shazam. If you don't have that app, get it. Because if you're a person like me that comes across these songs, you're like, oh, that's pretty catchy. So I Shazam the song. And guess what the song was, Mike?
What was it?
Pink Pony Club.
Pink Pony Club.
So there's a song. There's a song that's fairly popular right now, apparently, that's called Pink Phony Club. And so that's what the post was jabbing at, Pink Phony Club.
Pink Phony Club,
and Yeah. It took me a little second to get it because I'm a little slow. Anyways, David Beckham, one of the owners of Miami FC or Miami, Inter Miami, excuse me, took exception to that and decided to have an online social media crash out and wrote in, have some dignity, in a victory, and don't, you know, get too big-headed, all this other stuff. I gotta find it exactly what he said.
Let me interject. So it was another post they put up, right? Did you hear the other post that was... they said history over hype, culture over cash.
I didn't see that one. I did not see that one.
Yeah, that was the other one. That's like,
oh, wow.
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro, right? History over hype and culture over cash, excuse me. And I saw that and I said, whoa, okay. They got heat for Miami.
but right. Yeah, I just wanted to go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and speak on it. But I'll
yeah, that's quick. Good. That one was very good. I did not see that one though. They went in, but okay. Look, the social media managers, that's their whole thing is about engagement, right? And if you go out and you engage them, Beckham, that's all a troll does. That's all they do is just to constantly bait you into commenting or to saying something or to get you mad. And guess what? It worked. So the social media person might have got a raise after this because, you know, you can bait one of the owners into saying like, okay, guys, tone it down, chill out, relax. It's like, yep, you won.
Right. I mean, salute to Bend It Like Beckham. Nothing but love and respect for you, guy. You're a legend. You know, I can't give you enough love, show you enough love. However, stay off the social medias, guy. I mean, you're supposed to be above this. You are an owner of Inter Miami, dude. Why are you sticking your neck out here responding to these guys like you got to defend your team? Take your loss, take your lumps, take your butt whooping, and keep it moving. Keep it moving, guy. You ain't got to defend these dudes, you know? You got enough money, like the way they said. That's what they said right there with the, what is it? Culture over cash. You got enough cash money on the field. You shouldn't be getting beat 4-1, right? You got the goal on your squad. What's going on, dude? And now you're getting sensitive and responding, you know? That's just, I don't know, that's weak to me. That's very weak to me, dude. And they, like Maddie said, the trolls, the super trolls, what up, super trolls, super troll fans? Yo, they're having a blast right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, Beckham actually responded. Yo, Beckham, leave it alone, guy. Let your play speak for itself. You're telling them to show a little respect and be elegant. Dude, this is the MLS. These are super fans. And we're rabid out here, you know? These dudes, they're trying to take your head off. The loons ain't no joke up there in Minnesota. You heard?
Yeah. And shout out to them for getting the win. That was a very good win. I know that Julian Gressel was enjoying it because he wasn't seeing the field at all for Miami. And then he got on later in the game, you know, with Minnesota because that's the new team he's with. They ended up trading him by the deadline. So it just goes to show, you know, hey, just because you got arguably the greatest of all time and some of his friends on the team, this team is slowly but surely crashing out. And then you got the owner, you know, joining in on it. It's quite a interesting thing to see because we talked about it. That probably good segue into this. So there's a lot of games coming, you know, at us at a very quick pace. May is going to be loaded. I know for Nashville, we got games every Saturday and Wednesday all month. I mean, we're ready to go. So my schedule is extremely busy. But with that being said, there was a game last night. I mentioned it. It was Miami and San Jose. A back and forth game, very good game. But after the match, Messi was, you know, he was headhunting. He was out for blood. He wanted the referee and a couple of different players and also the coach for San Jose, Bruce Arena, really helped out. Messi was like, hey, you know, kind of really coercing him and coaxing him away from the referee because the referee told him, he said, that's it. Like, no more. I've had it. Like, you want to, because he gave him a yellow card after the match was over because he was, you know, being demonstrative and really getting at his case. But Messi just, he wanted even more. So he was, I mean, as close millimeters from getting a red card and being suspended for the next match and talking about crashing out. I mean, that's the definition of a crash out right there. I mean,
That was a crash test dummy. You know what I mean? No disrespect, but pun fully intended. Messi, you were very messy last night, right? It was like Maddie said, that was a great match, right? And shout out to Coach. I think that was Coach Arena breaking it up, right? He was kind of grabbing Messi and whatnot.
Look, guys, super fans all around the world, European super fans, a lot of great Stars players. We love them because they're very competitive. But Messi looked like he was going to swing on that ref last night, guys. He, you know, if I could have seen his hands, I bet he was making a knuckle. He wanted to serve him a knuckle sandwich, right? But, yeah, Matty, that I don't like that sore loser stuff. Don't blame it on the ref. You guys, look, the players, you decide the outcome. I got to shout out the referee for standing on business, right? He didn't. I don't know if you saw that final exchange between them, and he pretty much was telling Messi to, you know, get the F out of his face, right? To put it lightly. I respect the ref for standing on business. Yeah, what say you, Matty, in that exchange?
Yeah, it's one of those things where overall in the world game, Messi and really all the top players, they're kind of known for being divas, especially whenever they're looking for calls. I mean, we're seeing Zaha kind of the same way. Like, they kind of expect it. They bring that star power to the games. And so whenever they get touched or they get, you know, this or that, they expect to have that sort of treatment. And that's been a knock on Messi throughout. And it's like, oh, you know, in the World Cup, how they got so many penalties. You know, a lot of them, they were kind of, is it really a foul? Is it really a penalty? These sort of situations. And then now you have after these matches that are very close and tightly, you know, very competitive and the margins are very small. And what's he decide? Oh, I'm mad at the referee or whatever because of this or that, instead of, you know, being upset. That's something that here we don't do that on the field after games, right? We if you want to be upset, you can be upset with yourself, you can be upset with your teammates, your coach, whatever, in the locker room, away from all of this. And I think that it might be a cultural difference, possibly. Maybe, I don't know.
Totally agree. And just looking at the video, because, you know, at the video, Messi was, it's crazy because as we saw, he was pretty much, you know, congratulating San Jose guys and, you know, dapping them up, hugging them, whatever, patting them on the back. But yet and still, he still was going back and forth with the ref. Like, he was like, you notice the whole time he would go back kind of like looking at the ref and pointing at him and like, just, you know, getting at the ref. And I found that, I know, like I said, we love Messi because he's a great competitor, right? Love that. Mm-hmm. Maddie and I, we're both. That's why he's Maddie Savage and I'm Mike Apex. We're Predator. You know, we're competitors. We love the sport and we'll get out there. And when we play, we gave it our all. So I get that. But, dude, the match is over and you're still coming at this ref. That's a bit much, Messi. You need to go get you a nice... get you a little drink or something to calm down, you know.
Yeah, it's not a good look, but, you know, emotions run high. I did think that point you just made was kind of odd how, you know, he's a sportsman in the fact that, you know, he appreciates other people, other team, you know, he respects them. And it's not like, unless you did something that he didn't, you know, that he personally didn't like, if he felt that, you know, a challenge was a little bit, you know, here or there. Like, he's gone at players for doing those things. But after the match, he's generally very, you know, welcoming and congratulatory towards, you know, the other team. And, yeah, he was strictly, solely zoned in on the referee. Like, everybody else was just kind of like, yeah, good game, good game. I'm coming for you. You have got my ire. And it was disappointing, but, you know, it happens. So, going to move on to our second. Again, no, this is actually our third crash.
Third, yeah.
This is our third one. So, going in line with our, you know, owners gone crazy, our owners gone wild with Beckham.
Right.
So there was another instance in the Premier League that I sent to you And if you watch the Premier League, if you watch worldwide soccer at all, then you probably have heard about this instance that happened. So there, just to kind of set it up correctly, Nottingham Forest, they're a team in the Premier League, and the pundits had them finishing very low, or maybe even being relegated, which means that, you know, you're toward the bottom of the pyramid, and you would actually go down to the lower levels. We've talked about this before. Well, they've had a very good season. They have had a turnaround season. Their coach is actually putting them in a position that they might compete in extracurricular soccer, which would be the Champions League or the Europa League over there. So kind of similar to for us with the CONCACAF, they have Europa League and Champions League. So you have that as a possibility for them. And their game that they had versus Leicester City, which Leicester City is going to be relegated. So it's like, you know, fairly good team versus a team towards the bottom, you know, should win. Well, they ended up drawing, I think it was 2-2 or 1-1 anyways. And after the match, the owner took very exception to what happened in the game and decided to go out and get out on the pitch and go find the coach and kind of berate him so that everybody can see. And you know, like, I don't know if you – I know he was upset about them drawing instead of winning the match, of course, but he was just like, you know, what's going on and this and that. And it was very animated and very demonstrative, and the coach handled it with such class. I was very, very pleased to see that, because how many times, Mike, has somebody, you know, been like, you know, what's going on and this and the third? It really kind of increases the temperature and makes you want to, you know, kind of match their energy. He didn't do that. Right. I'm thankful. The owner's probably thankful as well, because I'm not going to get involved in that. That's petty nonsense right there. But yeah, man, Mike, what you think about that? That the video I sent you. What do you think about the whole situation?
Man, that was a drama. That was a movie right there. That short you sent me was crazy. I saw that, and like I said earlier, you sent it crashing out. He's like a crash test dummy. Why the hell are you running out there on the field confronting your coach like that, your manager like that? I mean, I saw that, and like you said, at first I couldn't believe it, because we're not used to this, right? Mm-hmm. You think over here we're like, you know, any sport, if you saw that, let's just imagine, I'm just throwing this out there, shout out to Arthur Blank, you know, he's the, we, you know, owner of Atlanta United. If and he goes on the field, he owns the Falcons too. Can you imagine Arthur Blank running out there on the field and getting in front of his you know, coach and dressing him down and wagging his finger at him, and he's all huffing and puffing? It would look crazy, right? Yeah. That's over here. Now, and I'm, you know what I'm saying? And now me seeing it happen overseas, and I know they're passionate. I love passion. You know, I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. But, dude, where's your professionalism? You're the owner of the team. I mean, these managers are coming out there, and they're just, I don't like it. I mean, guys, super fans, you're working your 9-to-5 or whatever you do. Can you imagine if you're doing your job and all of a sudden, you know, boss comes out there and he's all in your face? You're like, yo, man, back up, you know, get out of my face. And it's the same thing. Yeah. These guys are professional players. I mean, I saw that. And here, now, let me throw this at you. Let me boomerang this at you, Maddie. So on ESPN.com, apparently, he came back in the article, because it went viral. He's trying to say that it was fake news. I don't know if you heard about that. Mm-hmm. He's
no.
Yeah. Marinakis, I think that's his name. He's saying his frustration was over injured striker Tewo Awoniyi not being substituted. He's trying to blame it on that. That's part of it?
That was part of it. That was part of it.
I mean, that's part of it.
Do you want me to go?
But there's no excuse.
Do you want me to go into the? Yeah. Do you want me to go into the entire everything, like the get into the weeds, so to say?
Go ahead. All right.
So what happened in the game was and part of it is his misunderstanding on the way that things are. So in soccer, generally, when you go for substitutions, there's windows. You can't just sub in whenever. Like, that's a kind of a misconception. You got certain windows whenever you can make substitutions. Well, the coach, his name is Nuno Espirito Santo. He was going to be making a substitution there towards the end of the game. And I think it was for the said player that ended up getting hurt. There was a play, and he was offsides, but they didn't immediately raise the flag, and that's its own problem right there. I think that as soon as they see that you're offsides, it's like, hey, he's offside, stop play. They do this nonsense where they let him play it out, and then they're like, oh, wait, flag. It's like, come on, like, I know in basketball we have to call, like, late call, like, super late call. Like, they allow this for whatever reason, but neither here nor there. Well, that was offsides, goes for the play. Anyways, he ends up hitting the side of the goal and hurts himself. Mike, he hurt himself so severely that he actually had to have surgery. And it was like he had to he had to have surgery after all this went down, right? That's why it kind of makes this coach or this owner look like a real jackass, because, you know, and now he's using this. I personally feel that he's using the player and saying the well-being for the player, but really it was he's trying to get the team. He wants the team to get into the Champions League because of the money involved. Let's be real. He's a businessman. Right. It's money involved.
Of course. But also, it's all about the Benjamins, baby.
It's all about the Benjamins, correct. But also, so, yeah, he asked about the player because there was some confusion, because after the injury, the physios went out there. They asked about the player. He was saying, yeah, I'm good to go, but he wasn't good to go. I mean, he had to have emergency surgery after this match going forward, and so there was a, is he good, is he not good? So that was a bit of it at the end of the match, because it's tied. You know, if you can sub him off, if he can't play, you know, somebody else can, and you can go out and get a goal, win the game. You know, that was it. But the overall frustration of the owner, you know, like I said, drawing versus winning, getting the points needed to get where you need to, where they want to be, that was in it. But also the confusion on what happened and the substitution and all that. But it really goes to show, if you allow it to overflow and, you know, oh, he's emotional and he's, you know, getting caught up in it or whatever. He's passionate. He's not emotional. He's passionate. So you have to be passionate and talk about it, you know, get clarification after the fact, right? Don't get on the field and be like, man, you know, finger wagging in his face, like, what's going on? Because, dude, this guy here has turned your team from people thinking you guys weren't even going to still be in the Premier League to top, you know, I think they're seventh right now. I think they need to be into the either sixth or fifth to, you know, get to Champions League or Europa League. And so, you know, hey, he's done a heck of a job where if everybody else is saying, like, yeah, no, they're dead in the water, they're not going to, you know, make it much beyond this season, they're going to be probably in the championship, to going, hey, man, this team is, you know, one of the best here. I mean, that's one heck of a turnaround. And instead of being grateful and thankful to him, you're over here saying, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? We need to be doing this. We need to be doing that. It just seems very ungrateful and almost, you know, kind of spiteful in a way. Like, just be grateful, be thankful that you're where you're at instead of where you aren't and where you want to be.
Right on, right on. Yeah, that was definitely an unfortunate situation. And hopefully, you know, I don't want to call him out his name, but hopefully other owners and, you know, anybody higher up executives, you see this and you don't want to be that crash test, pun intended, dummy out there running on the field and making a big scene. That's not a good look for your team. And that's not what leadership is about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Period. I understand your passion and all of that, but nah, man, nah, leave that alone.
Yep. That's a good point, Mike. Well said.
And you got to finish with that. You got a super red card, right?
Yeah, super red card. Look, if that one is a yellow, which it definitely is, right? That's a yellow card on Marinakis.
Marinakis, yeah.
Yeah. So red card moment. And this is a very a serious subject, right? I want to give it the shine or the attention that it really deserves. And we're branching off into different subjects and topics, right? We're giving the NWSL a little bit of attention this episode because NWSL had Angel City FC play, who was it that they played? The Utah Royals.
The right? Royals, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a good match up to, I think, the 60th minute. And Angel City player named Savvy King had an off-field collapse. She fell out. And they didn't know what was going on. It looked like it was a cardiac event, right? And so it looked really bad. It was similar to the Damar Hamlin situation in Buffalo. I think you made a comment about that.
Yes.
And this is happening more frequently in these sports. We're not going to get into any of the, you know, those rabbit holes, and there's plenty of them as to the reasons why. Yeah. We're not here to talk about that. But simply put, this happened, and the teams, they huddled up. They were praying for the young lady. She was sent to – they did CPR on the field, and they sent her to the hospital directly from the field hospital, and that was that. So, Mike, naturally, if something horrific happens, that's it. The game's over, right?
It should be.
Should be, if right? You would think, right?
Yeah.
Mike, tell me, why did they finish this game? They made these ladies finish this game. And that was super red card, man. That was I can't even go ahead. Just take the reins from me because I'm gonna get super super savage on them, man.
Well, let me read the statement that they made. They made a statement, right? A PC statement. Because to me, let me read this statement real quick. So they said, league protocols were followed from both a medical and game operations perspective. We are grateful to the Angel City medical staff as well as to local paramedics who handled this difficult situation seamlessly, right? As always, the NWSL will review and determine if changes to that protocol need to be made. And then they say prayers to Savvy King as well as her loved ones and the players that were on the field. You know, that was that second statement. The prayers was from Trinity Rodman. She posted or whatever. Dude, this boils my blood, right? We've seen this before. As a matter of fact, I don't know what it is. It's been like every now and then or every couple months or so, you're hearing about a young athlete passing out. Heck, even LeBron, Bronny. Remember Bronny had a cardiac. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, he had a cardiac situation not even a year ago.
Yeah.
What are we doing, guys? Is it money over morals? Is that what we're doing right now? And then you want to come out with this generic statement, No. You should have stopped that game ASAP.
Yeah.
Okay? You can finish that later. You can postpone. You can make it a tie, whatever. Start caring about your players. You're making money off of these players, right? Don't get out here pimping these players, and then when something happened like this, this young lady could have lost her life, and then we're sorry. No. Their family would have sued you guys. They could have made you guys go belly up out here. They could have sued, you know what I'm saying? I know I would have. That's my daughter out there. Come on, man. I mean, that Maddie, you know I was very upset about that when I saw it. At first, I was like, okay. And then I was like, they kept playing? He was like, yeah, Mike. I was like, why did they keep playing?
Yeah.
And then they come out with this corny statement? Dude, that, man, that right there, bro. NWSL, and here's the thing, Maddie. I think we mentioned them a couple episodes back where they had signed this new deal. They've been exploding, right?
Yeah.
We watched the championship game. What is this? St. Louis played Orlando. Was it St. Louis? What is the Spirit in Orlando Pride, if I'm not mistaken? Great, excellent championship, match we watched last year.
shout out to NWSL. We're going to be, like Maddie said, we're going to be covering all things soccer, guys. And shout out to the females. But that right there, that's how you get your league out of business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, man. Go ahead, Maddie. I don't want to mess around and curse on here. Go ahead.
I'm gonna read a quote from the other coach of the Utah Royals. His name is Jimmy Cone. Conrates. I don't want to say it wrong, but I probably did. So he talked about the situation. He said, "In those moments, I'm not sure if we should have continued the game. You're emotionally, not only them, but also our players were just scared. That's not the right situation to be put in the end. But in the end, we played on. That's the decision other people have taken, which is fine. It was a really tough moment." And that right there is the coach. And really what he's saying there is he didn't say it, but it's kind of implicit in how he's, you know, coming off the statement. What he's saying is, look, if it had been me, if it had been my decision, we probably wouldn't have finished it. It was tough. It was very tough. And I'm going to, you know, kind of really finish and drive this point home with. And I'm very glad that she's recovering. I said that on Twitter. I'm saying it here. You know, Godspeed to you, to Savvy King. But let's just be real. Right? Let's just be real for 1 second. Let's just say that I'm going to play devil's advocate just for one quick moment. What if this young lady had died, either on the way to the hospital or on that field? And let's just say that in the moment, right? Because they didn't know. Mm-hmm. They had no idea. They said she was, you know, she passed out, did this and that. They give her CPR. Yes. She was on the way. But it sounds like there was a time where she was transported. And then we're kind of like in an influx situation. It's like, well, okay. And we give them the time. They said there was 12 minutes of added time to finish out the game, right?
Right.
Let's just play that. What if she had died? What if? You know,
it may not be over.
You're right, because that would have been so insensitive. It doesn't matter. It sounds like we're, you know, dogging on the NWSL right now, but it's just like whether this had been the Premier League, USL, MLS, any of these leagues, right? This that's Bush League. Your players who are in your leagues have to come first. Period. End of statement.
Yes.
And when you have someone go down, their life is what matters, and that's it. All right? The game is secondary. And getting them okay, and I don't think there would have been, and if there was, shame on them, but I don't think there would have been a person at that game or watching at home would have been like, man, why are they ending the game? Because, you know, a tragic situation has happened, and then that trumps everything. So
everything.
Red card on the NWSL. I hope that they look at this situation and decide to do something different. It very easily could have just been like, hey, we're going to pick this game up at the 60 something minute, wherever, you know, whenever this did happen. And then, hey, we're going to pay another time, or hey, refund the tickets. Sorry about this instance that happened. Refund the tickets. And they're going to play just televised for the last 30 some odd minutes. Like there's avenues and ways that you could have done this. Instead of, you know, like, oh, man, dang, I mean, that's just like at work, right? Could you imagine, you know, I work in a warehouse. I couldn't imagine if something happened where someone just passes out, right? And they're just like, oh, they're fine. Just keep working. And they'd be like, yo, did someone do pass out? What you mean? Or you know, something very tragic, right? You know, a heart attack or stroke or some of these situations that happen, right? You're not going to be like, yo, I'm just going to, you know, just forget that even happened and just keep going. You're mentally and physically, emotionally, you're not there. It's not fair to those ladies.
It's not. And let me personalize this, Maddie. I'm going to give you your kudos right now. We're both coaches. You're a championship coach, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if you were the coach out there. Here's what I would have done, and I know you would have done the same thing. Imagine if you were the coach out there and your player went down like that, and they were telling you to keep playing. Dude, I'm not playing. My team ain't playing, bro. Yeah. See, that's where that coach should have put their foot down. And I know you're just like me. You would have been like, oh, no, hell no. No, Our concern is Savvy right now. We want to make sure she's okay. So all of this, we're my team, hey, if you want to forfeit it, whatever. We're not playing. We're not giving you guys, you know, the benefit because you want to keep your sponsors and all these, you know, people that's backing you and getting all this money and TV deals. Yo, forget that. I would have been like, you know what? Nah, we're done. And I don't care who find me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what should have happened. That's the only thing I was looking at that situation. I know how you are, how passionate you are, like I am. And, you know, we really generally care about people and our players or whatever. Nah, man. But peace, love, and blessings and strength to Savvy King. You know, I know you're doing fine from what I've been reading and hearing. But if you can hear this, hey, we're on your side. And stay strong and... Yeah.
And it goes to your point earlier in the episode where you're talking about Minnesota and Miami. What do you say? Money over morals.
Money
over morals. That's exactly what this is right here. Money over morals.
Yes. Yeah, man. But, man, we've been rocking out tonight.
Yeah. Glad to hear it's getting better. And, you know, NWSL, do better, man.
Please do. Because we're going to be covering you guys, too. And, look, we got to call it straight. We're not going to be, you know, we're going to call it how we see it. And it is what it is.
All right, Mike, I think we wrap this episode up. Till next time, I guess.
Yeah, see you guys next week.
All right.
Peace.
All right, next week, knuckleheads. Later.
You.
Thank you for joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace out.